Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Would other followers of Christ in your church have a good report concerning your overall character? I'm not referring to a pious attitude in church and a carnal attitude in your home, community, or on your job. I mean, there is a Christ-like spirit that consistently comes from you when it comes to how you respond to others in the church, in your home, community, or job during various situations. If not, maybe you need to examine yourself to make sure you are in the faith. Well, let's listen and learn.
And Paul did not mention these names because they were in constant opposition to Paul and his ministry associates. No, Paul mentions these men and women because they were assets in the kingdom of God. These names are mentioned because they were faithful to the Lord. They were faithful in their various ministries, and they loved the brothers and sisters in Christ and proved it through their behavior towards others. Their names were publicly mentioned because they were of exemplary Christian character. This is what we see in Demetrius. For according to 3 John 12, he was of exemplary spiritual character. We know that because, number one, he had received a good testimony or a report from everyone or from all. The phrase "has received a good testimony" in the New American Standard Bible, or "hath a good report of all" in the King James, it's one Greek word, the Greek word martyrio. This word martyrio, it is defined as to give a strong testimony in an honorable sense to the honorable character of another. Let me say it again. And so when John says had received a good testimony or report from everyone, the word means he received a strong testimony in an honorable way that attested to the honorable character of Demetrius. And so in view of this, all the brothers and sisters in Christ who were intimately associated with Demetrius gave a strong, honorable testimony about the honorable character of Demetrius. There is no doubt these honorable testimonies about the honorable character of Demetrius, they were in reference to the subject matter of this letter. And that is the fact that Demetrius gave his best when it came to the care and support of those whose calling was and profession was the word of God. There's no doubt in my mind that these honorable testimonies about the honorable character of Demetrius, it was applicable to his walk with the Lord in general, his faithfulness in ministry, and his love of the brothers and sisters in Christ. Number two, Demetrius also had a good testimony or an honorable testimony from the truth itself. The truth in this case is the word of God. In view of this, one could easily see or witness the fact that Demetrius sincerely worked at living his life according to the word of God. Why? Because the truth itself bore witness to this man's honorable Christian character. In other words, Demetrius was not a mere hearer of the word of God, but a hearer and a doer of the word of God, just as James talks about in James 1:22, where it says this, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers." Ludes. See, you can amen this stuff all Sunday, amen. Doesn't mean a thing unless you are living it out in your life. See, when you just hear a good message and say, "Good message, Pastor," and you're not living it, you are deluding yourself. You have deceived yourself, because God wants us to hear and to do and to practice. And so Demetrius lived like this word of God said to live. And therefore, the truth itself, the word of God itself, it bore witness to his exceptional spiritual integrity. And then number three, Demetrius had a strong, intense, honorable testimony from John and his associates in ministry about his honorable character. And this testimony was known to be true by all who intimately knew John. Because John says in the latter part of verse 12, "And you know that our testimony is true." The word "know" there, it's a very strange word, the Greek word "eido." There are quite a few different words in the Greek language for the word "know." But this one is the word Edo. It means to know based upon discernment and perception. It means to know something based upon the fact that you have the God-given ability to discern and grasp what is true. In view of this, those who perceived or had a firm grasp of John's character and the character of those who ministered with John, they knew that John and these men would not lie. So they knew that their testimony about Demetrius was true. Amen. Based on these two, I want to give you 4 points, and I'm through, and they are as follows. Number one, just as it is regularly mentioned, those whose evil, sinful character warrants such because their evil, sinful behavior is detrimental to everybody. It is also right to publicly mention those whose honorable Christian character, as exhibited by their consistent manner of living, it dictates such. Why? Because they are an encouragement to all to do the same or to live as they live. I can't mention everybody in this building this morning who have been an encouragement to me and a blessing to this church in general. But I'm going to mention a few for the sake of illustration. Now, listen. Because I'm only going to mention a few for the sake of illustration, don't get angry because I'll leave your name out. Now, if you get angry because I'll leave your name out, that seems to suggest it shouldn't have been caught in the first place. Amen. He didn't mention my name. Well, that seems to say you have a me problem. Amen. And that's sort of like the guy they asked, you know, they're asking Christians, you know, what's your best Christian, what's your best character trait? And he said, I'm humble. Really? Amen. If you're humble, you sort of don't have to mention it. Amen. See, that's why I get leery of people telling me how honorable they are. And when somebody's like, oh, Pastor, you know I'm going to do the right thing. I'm honorable. I'm going to do this because of right. I feel like somebody trying to sell me a used car that ain't no good. Amen. So I can't mention everyone. But I'm just doing this for illustration's sake. And so let me mention a few. Number one, and Sister Kendall has been a faithful life partner to me. And she has always encouraged me in pastoral ministry and in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. She never has behaved in the mode or manner of Job's wife, who told Job, curse your God and just die. Amen. Her exact words were, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. As a matter of fact, there have been times when I wanted to quit pastoral ministry. And you only feel like that when things are not going well. When you're going through, y'all know I'm talking about, you want out. Amen. When stuff ain't going well, you want out. Amen. Ain't going well on the job, I need another one. Amen. And so there have been times, and it's always been something just going on I just don't like. You know, you want out. And I've been through, I'll do anything. What you going to do if you don't pass? Anything. Anything, whatever. Amen. Plumbing sounds good, amen. Electrician, whatever, amen. I'll change oil at the oil place. And so Skinner has said to me, David, you need to stop. You know passion is your calling, and besides that, what else you going to do and be content? There have been times she said, you know, you need to stop because me and Maya are getting tired of you, amen. See, this has, and it is a great blessing to me, which is envied by some of my pastoral friends, for their wives have never supported them in their ministries, but they have actively worked against them, and it is a serious source of grief for them. I can't testify to that, because my life partner has always supported me in ministry. Amen. And so I think that needs to be acknowledged publicly. Amen? Amen. So let me move on. Pastor Smith has always supported me in pastoral ministry. We've had disagreements in ministry matters, but he's always after we disagree without being disagreeable, defer to the fact you're the pastor. He said, well, I can't see it, pastor, but you the pastor. And so we're going to roll this way. And then he doesn't say that and then work against me. You know, whatever we decide, he puts he'll do it the way you're the pastor. So let's roll with it. And so I think that needs to be acknowledged. You know, there was a time I wasn't thinking about preaching. And Pastor Smith said, hey, man, what about the ministry? And I told you, I got mad at him when he said that. Amen. Because I'm about big things here. Amen. Deacon Donald Culver has been faithful to this congregation above and beyond the call of duty from the day he got saved. And joined this church when we were in one 850 square foot room at 3313 Harmat Avenue Northeast until this very day. Amen. And I think that needs to be named. He faithfully attended both 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday service for as long as we had two services when he didn't have to. He's been faithful in exercising his spiritual gifts of helps in all he has been asked and is asked to do. And he never said to me, I need to get paid because after all, you getting paid. Never got up in my face with a list this long of how stuff need to be done around here. After all, I've never pastored a day in my life. Amen. So I'm going to tell you how to do it. Amen. See, that needs to be named. I think it was a great thing that Mother Culver did. She's been gone for some time. I was a young, real wet behind the ear pastor. Amen. She called me up and submitted herself to me as her pastor. At a time, I know I ain't know much. Amen. Amen. But she did that and worked faithfully. Played that piano, amen, as long as she could. See, that needs to be acknowledged, amen. He's not here today. Brother Vince encouraged me. Every time I preach, every Sunday, get up and encourage me. Brother Vince, he's not here today, but every Sunday, encourage me. Deacon Grady, you remember he addressed this congregation of his own will. We were in the building program. The city was giving us all kind of problems. We were still on Merritt Avenue. And I was through. I didn't call him. I had enough. And the city wanted us to do some more stuff that's going to cost us some more money. And I said, I cannot come in for this congregation and ask for another dime. And the Lord must have laid it on. He called me up and said, Pastor, let me talk to the congregation. Y'all remember that? And he got us to congregation. And then he said, he put his money where his mouth is. Amen. And got his checkbook out. And that encouraged everyone else to give. And it got us over the top. And it got us in here. See, that kind of thing needs to be mentioned. Amen. The Scott family has endured many trials and tribulations over the past 5 years. Quite honestly, I don't know how they did it. But in all of it, they have been faithful in every sense. I ain't heard them complaining. Deacon Scott didn't call me up saying, poor me. He didn't call me up with Sister Juanita, swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. I went to the house where I used to. Brother Fonzie know that song. Amen. It'll take all the joy out today. Amen. Like that. Amen. But still faithful. Amen. Needs to be acknowledged. Amen. Sister Carol has played the piano and organ faithfully. Amen. Never received any praise, but does it. Amen. Me and my wife were talking last Sunday. Brother Keith is a faithful brother in the Lord. And I told my wife, that brother is the real deal. Amen. A faithful brother. Amen. Brother Tim Hall, when he was in New York, he would always call me. What's going on? How can I help? Always sending something back. Because I'm concerned about Word of God community. Amen. I can mention many others that have been faithful. And I want to mention many more names. As a matter of fact, I would like to call out every name in this building this morning, but I just can't because time cannot permit me. But let me say this. The congregation of the Word of God Community Church is a wonderful congregation. I cannot think of one instance over the last 25 years that you have not responded when a legitimate need has been presented to you and you gave, and I didn't hear anybody complaining. All I heard was, did we get what we asked for and did we get what we needed to help so-and-so or do this or that? Amen. Our board of trustees, I don't know how many of them are here today. Raise your hands. In 25 years, we've never had one argument at a meeting. I think that's a miracle, amen. Amen. See, we need to say that, amen. When Demetrius is among us, we need to acknowledge that, amen. I can honestly say when it comes to all of you, I have no complaints. For as far as I'm concerned, you are the greatest congregation in the world. And I wouldn't want to pastor or preach or teach at any other. From time to time, when some of my pastor friends get together and I get together with them, they're complaining about their congregations. And I just have to sit in silence because I said, that's just not my experience. Amen. The point I'm trying to stress is just that there are times when the names of evil people who claim to be saved but consistently do not act like they need to be revealed publicly. There are times when the names of those who are of exceptional Christian character should be acknowledged publicly in order to encourage all to be the best they can be for Jesus every day of their lives. Amen. Number two, strive to live your life every day in such a way that honorable men and women can truthfully testify about your honorable Christian character and disposition, just as everyone could give an honorable testimony about the honorable character of Demetrius. I did not say live your life just to get praise from men. I didn't say that. Amen. Because if you did that, now we're into selfishness and you're narcissistic. Amen. That means you're full of yourself. Amen. But you ought to so live your life and you ought to so love the Lord and so believe the Word of God that you are compelled to live by it, that when men and women see you living out the Word of God in your life, they can honestly testify of your honorable character. You ought to seek to live your life. When it comes to living for the Lord and, yes, and your church, yes, people don't have a bad thing to say about you. Amen. Number three, live your life in such a way that the truth itself testifies to your honorable Christ-like character. Yes. In other words, live your life in such a way that when we read the portion of the Word of God that speak of faithfulness, love of God's word, love of God's people, that we cannot help but to think of your name. Amen. Just as the truth of God's word bore testimony to Demetrius. And then number four, live your life in such a way that those men of God who we know are faithful in the Word of God have a good testimony about you. Just as everyone knew John's testimony about Demetrius was true for all who intimately knew John, perceived and firmly grasped he was a faithful man of God and he would never lie. So what he says about Demetrius, it must be true. Live your life in order that faithful men of God will speak well of you. Amen. Yeah. I've never said this, but it's true. Pastor Walker, Pastor Payton, V. These men love to preach at Word of God Community Church. And it's not because of me, but it's because of you. Amen. Because they know you love the Word of God. That's a good testimony for you. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that is quite a testimony when somebody as hardcore as Richard Walker. Amen. I mean, this guy's hardcore, man. And he'll tell you, man, I couldn't be a pastor. Pastor Kendall, I couldn't pass it. I don't love the folks enough. Amen. Or I don't love people. Like, you saying it jokingly, but you know, man, Pat P loves the preacher. Why? Because of you. See, that's a good testimony for you. Live your life in such a way that real men of God say, I love those people. I love that congregation. I love that brother. I love that sister. You ought to live your life in such a way that the man of God who is faithful in the Word of God can testify of your faithful Christian character and works. You ought to so love Jesus that you are like Onesiphorus, who Paul said, I got to mention him. Because when I was in jail in Rome, he eagerly sought me out and he found me. And he said he refreshed me in my chain. Do you know what that means? You have to understand, a Roman prison was a hole in the ground. And the opening to the hole was a manhole. All of your bodily functions were taken care of down there. There was no plumbing. Rats would get in there. Everything else. And so Paul is in this hole in the ground. Onesiphorus searches until he finds him. And so when Paul says he often refreshed me, what he means is Demetrius came down. It seemed as though he came down in there and cleaned the place up. Amen. And got the filth out and saw to it that his needs were met. We don't understand the significance of that, but I'll tell you what it is, and then I'm going to sit down. It was in that hole in the ground that Paul wrote 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Colossians, Philippians. I go on, Ephesians. All of these were written while he was in that hole. And I'm trying to tell you, he could not have written to you that you're benefiting today without an Onesiphorus that searched him out till he found him and refreshed him in his chain. And because of that, you have over half of your Bible, amen, written by a man in a hole in the ground, amen, because a faithful man named Onesiphorus, amen, sought him out. You ought to so live your life that the man of God will say, that's a good brother. That's a good sister. Amen. In other words, you ought to live your life in such a way that a man who has proven himself faithful in the Word of God can never testify that you tried to kill him with catfish.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Join us tomorrow as he continues teaching the Word of God. Understanding the Scriptures is a broadcast of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio.